Praise be to God indeed. The reading for this morning is from the letter to the Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9. And it reads like this. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He also supplies seeds to the sower, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. For you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgiving to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Praise be to God indeed. Would you repeat after me? Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Amen. Now, John Wesley used to have a wonderful thing about his sermons. Usually, when you read a sermon from John Wesley would usually just use a phrase like that from Psalm 119, one verse. And it will read just like that. And he will just write pages of a sermon on that. Sometimes I wonder why, now that we have more information, we write less, at any rate. But it is a wonderful thing to know how that just that simple phrase says so much about who we are. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So I want to be obedient to the word of God, and I want to be faithful to the word of God, so that I may indeed not sin against my God. Today, as Michelle mentioned, is our last installment for to live a God-pleasing life. Now, it's not that this is the last day for you to live a God-pleasing life. Amen? That's not the point, right? But it is the last day for us to be talking about this as a theme for the church on Sunday mornings. And this specifically, of course, because, you know, we want to continue to engage in conversation as it relates to how do we live our lives faithfully before God. It's important to highlight simply here, for me at least, the idea that this is generosity is the hallmark of the whole deal we're talking about. So when we talk about this thing of generosity, when we talk about giving, we talk about this concept that is a hallmark of God. It's a hallmark because indeed it expresses who God is and how God acts and what God desires for us to do as well. This concept, and just so that you get a picture of this concept of hallmark, it's been with us for a long time, and most of you know what a hallmark is. And I don't mean the channel. Amen? This is an important thing. This is something about, you know, it's an evidence. It's something that is actually usually printed on gold or silver or some special precious metal. sometimes even in diamonds. There is a thing that is printed on them. This started long time ago, but it was not until about 1327 or so in England that they started to actually make that official. And what does that mean is simply is that the king decided, and some people in his court decided, that it will be important to make sure that when somebody says that they have pure gold, they needed to check and verify that that gold was pure, that silver was pure, so there was actually something real that you were getting instead of being, having gold, but, being like, 9-carat gold or 8-carat gold, something very low. So this was a way of actually verifying, certifying by a committee, by a team of people who will actually check out and make sure that the gold or the silver or the precious items that they were checking actually had exactly what they said they had, that was pure. So it was interesting because, of course, in England, there was this group called the Goldsmith Company. It started as the worshipful company of goldsmiths. And later, of course, in England, it turned into the Goldsmiths Company. But it was in the Goldsmiths Hall where this whole business started. And that's where we get the word the hallmark, because it was in the Goldsmiths Hall where the hallmark started to take place. So meaning that stamp that goes on precious metals to certify that they were indeed what they were supposed to be. For me, as I was reading this, I realized that this is such an incredible imagery about God. That God indeed is the same thing. We're talking about God's generosity as being God's hallmark. Now, the generosity of God being the hallmark, meaning because generosity is not simply a matter of finances. Amen? The hallmark of God and the generosity of God is not simply defined by what God gives us. And this is not a monetary thing, right? Right? This is not a monetary business. This is something that goes deeper than that. And this is what this is all about. Because, see, when we speak about the generosity of God as the hallmark of God, it also implies that when we speak about generosity, then it brings something else about what that generosity is. And when we speak about that God's generosity, we speak about God's love. Amen? For God gave to us generously His love. Amen? For God has given to us generously everything we have. I know some of us have a hard time grasping the whole idea that God has given us everything we have. And I know because, it is such a foreign concept to many of us that to hear, to understand, to grasp the idea that God actually is the one who provides. And many of us think of that because, I work hard for my money. Amen? So we always go to that place. So I work hard for what I have. I work hard for my big house. I work hard for my big car, for my small car, whatever the case may be. I work hard for that. So, where is God providing? Because, you see, we have this idea that, when we say that God provides, is that, manna comes from heaven, right? And we just pick it up. But that's not what generosity means. Nor is it, neither is what it means when we say that God provides all our needs. For indeed, the God we have been worshiping, the God we have believed in, is the God that actually comes to us providing all the things we have. God's generosity, again, part of the hallmark of God, this God's generosity is the one that says that the Son comes out for the good and the evil. Amen? For those who are good and for those who are not so good, right? God's generosity is such that God provides water for the one who is planting the good seed and for the one who is doing harm with his farm. Amen? So that we know that God's generosity touches everyone. And so when we speak about God's generosity and as this example of an incredible thing that this God is doing for us, it also implies that when we speak about God's generosity as a hallmark, it is that God's characteristic is expressed in what this means. So God's generosity is the characteristic of this, who this God is and how this God works. Because it is because of this great generosity of God is that we have received forgiveness of sins. Amen? I mean, it's through the generosity of God that we have received the blessing of forgiveness, that we have received the blessing of salvation, that we have received the gift of God's saving grace through God's generosity. We have been told several times, and as we read the scripture, that we, of course, cannot make it. Amen? We cannot reach God's footsteps. We cannot reach God on our own. God actually had to come to be the one to guide us and lead us so that we will be able to find grace and find salvation in our God. So this God who loves us so much and so profoundly and so dearly has come to be among us and continues to come among us and continues to come and bless us by bringing the things we need in our lives. Now, one of the things, of course, that sometimes we miss with that, and I know sometimes we talk about it, but sometimes we miss it as a church, meaning as a group, and that is, you know, that God blesses us not only because we have a good job or we make good money, but also because, you know, we're blessed by having people in our lives. Amen? We are living in a culture where that is becoming less and less important. The idea of living in community is becoming less and less important, even though we need it more and more. Even though we're at a time when we realize how necessary it is to live in communities, for whatever reason, we have been developing this sense for the past 40, 50 years as if we don't need each other, as if we can live in our own little communities, meaning our own little homes, and that our homes become just our entire universe. See, the challenge of the churches of the Church of God cannot live as silos. Amen? We have been trying to live as silos, and when we do that, of course, the one that is winning is not the one that is actually blessing you, but the one who does not want you to be blessed. Because you see, blessing, the blessings of God do not come because you have a full bank account. Amen? The blessings of God do not come because you have a big house. The blessings of God do not come because you have all the material things you need. The blessings of God do not come because you have the higher education possible. The blessings of God come because you are able to share all that with other people. You hear me? Because you're able to share what you have, what you possess, what you have in your hands with other people. You see, that is the greatest gift we have received. The gift of being able to share with each other what God has given us. Because that is the only way we can make a difference in the world. That is the only way where when we share with each other, when we share what we have, the gifts we have with each other, and we're able then to be stronger. We're able then to be better. See, we know because we hear this all the time, and I know you hear this all the time, especially for those of you who are, you know, sport fans, right? You know, and this is one of those things that says, you know, there's no I in team. Amen? Why can't we learn from that? Why can't we learn? Indeed. Well, this is the team of God. You hear me? This is the team of God. And in this place, there's no room for I. In the sense of you being the star, in the sense of you being the big gun, you know what I mean? No, this is the place where everyone counts because God has blessed each and every one of you with a special gift. Through God's generosity, you have received special gifts. You know, some people will say, you know, Pastor, I just don't do anything. You know, I just can't do anything because I don't have any special gifts. My God, my God. Indeed, you have gifts. Each and every one of you have a gift from God. Sometimes just by having the willingness to speak to someone who's in need. Sometimes just by being willing to hear, to listen to someone who's in need, we become a blessing to the other. Sometimes we don't even have to speak to be a blessing to somebody else. Just being present becomes a blessing. And sometimes we are not smart enough to know what to say, and that's fine because God knows that. But if we're willing and we are offering ourselves to God, God will use your gifts, whatever the gift may be. You don't have to be the one who stands in the pulpit and preach. Amen? You don't have to be the one who stands in the classroom and teach. You are the person whom God has called, and you all have a gift. Different gifts, as a matter of fact. Different gifts. And God wants to use them all. For God has given you all these gifts so that you can be a blessing to each other. There's no silos in the church. There's no silos in the faith community, in the community of believers. There can't be any silos, because a silo is somebody who just stays in one place as if this is the center of the universe. And we, meaning I, am not the center of the universe. I'm not even the center of my own universe. You know what I mean? Not even that. But we are not the centers of the universe. And by continuing to allow this thing that has been growing in our society, that seeks to separate us and is seeking to keep us apart from each other, we're not going to survive as a people. And I'm talking now just a whole nation. You know what I mean? The whole world. We cannot survive unless we're there for each other. God's generosity, if anything we learn from God's generosity, is that God is indeed interested in us. In you and me and all of us. But God is interested in us also being connected to each other. That's why when I came here the first Sunday and I preached that first Sunday and I mentioned to you this thing about loving and this thing about liking, right? And we were saying on that Sunday some years ago, you're not called to like me. I am not called to like you, but I am called to love you. Because, you see, we go beyond the idea of likeness. We go beyond the idea that you know, I have to like you so that then I can feel that I'm okay with you. See, no. God doesn't like the things we do. Amen? God actually hates sometimes the things we do that we feel very proud about. But God loves us still and is willing, because of God's goodness, to welcome us and receive us as his people. The same thing is for us. We're not called to like each other, but we are indeed called to love each other, to be there for each other, to support each other, to sustain each other, to give our own lives for each other. For that is the demand of the gospel. But that is also the demand that we have received, that we have hear about when we hear about God's generosity. God's generosity has been shown by the fact that he was willing to give his only son for you and for me. As a matter of fact, if we go deep in this theology, we hear that God was willing to give his own life for you and for me. God's generosity was such that this God came down to be among us, came to be among this group of people, and this God took on our reality, our humanity, because he wanted to be with us, showing us the way, showing us the path, not simply by giving an example about, hey, I'm willing to die for you and I'm going to die for you, so be cool. No. This is, I'm showing you what needs to be done. That is the great challenge of the gospel. Because we have been told what needs to be done. See, if I'm willing to die for you, if I'm willing to give my life for you, will the world be the same that we have today? If I'm willing to love you to the point of giving my life for you, will the world be the same as it is today? See, if we really saw each other and saw the presence of God in each other, and we are willing to give our lives for each other out of love, will there be hate in the world? Will there be room for hate? Will there be room for racism? Will there be room for sexism and any of the other isms you want to name? Will there be room for any of that if we were willing to love the way that God has loved us? If we were willing to love each other to that level of commitment, the way that Jesus Christ showed us? God's generosity is an amazing thing. As I was preparing for the sermon, I remember hearing a story some time ago. It was a story of a young man who was trying to come to the U.S., trying to come to from the old world to the new world. And so he saved his money. He put all his money, put it together, and bought the ticket to come to the new world. And in that process, of course, knowing he didn't have a whole lot, so he wanted to have some money left so that when he arrived in the new world, he will have some money to start his life. So he was trying to save really hard. And so he decided that he was going to buy some crackers and some cheese for the trip to the new world so that he could save some money, because he had heard that, inside the ship, if you were inside the ship in this ship, that the food was going to be too expensive. So, he didn't have much money, so he wanted to save. So he did. So he came on board and he brought his crackers and cheese and whatnot. And he was just, things were okay the first 2 days, And so as things continue, of course, water and crackers are not exactly the best combination because, they don't stay crackers. They turn into something else, more mushy. And because of the weather, of course, inside the ship also, so the cheese, didn't stay good for a long time either. So it became a little rancy. So he realized he couldn't eat the cheese nor the cracker, so he was a little bit of a pinch, right? So he finally decided that he had to do something because he was hungry. And so he talked to the steward of the ship as he was walking down the hall, and he says, he finally decided, of course, he had, whatever little money he had, he was going to use that part of that money to get himself some food. And so he talked to the steward of the ship, and he says, how much is the food at the restaurant? And the steward says, looking at him and a little bit puzzled, he says, do you have a ticket? And he says, yes, I have a ticket. Of course I have a ticket. And the gentleman says, well, food is included. So imagine his surprise, right? He's trying to save money and trying to do all those things. And, of course, the bottom line was that it was part of the deal, right? Sometimes we feel like that too. Sometimes we act like that, like we have to bring crackers and cheese to live in the presence of God, as if this is, what God provides for us is just simply crackers and cheese, or this is all we have, so this is all we can do, without realizing that God has a whole lot more in store for each and every one of us. God has many more blessings to our lives if we just, by the fact that we have accepted the gift of God's salvation, that you are giving indeed the blessing to live an abundant life, not a life of want, but an abundant life. And I've told you before, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a life without problems. Amen? But it's going to be an abundant life because it's filled with God's presence. And because in that understanding of this presence of God, it's also going to be filled with the people who are sitting next to you. It's going to be filled with the people around you. The people that God has placed in your life so that you be indeed in ministry with each and every one of them. Now, some of you have looked at the banners we have here in church. We have three more banners outside, but you have these banners here in church. These are not decorations. You hear me? These are not just decorations. They're not here so that you can see, oh, you know, gee, somebody was really nice and creative, right? And they put nice banners together, and, you know, they look really spiffy. Well, some more than others. We won't tell which ones, amen? There will be no judgment on that. But these teams are not simply banners, are not simply decorations for the church. They're an expression of all the ministries we have in this church, all the different teams we have in this congregation. And you hear me, right, when I say all the teams we have in this congregation that are seeking to work for God's glory, that are seeking to do what is right in God's sight, who are indeed seeking to live a generous life by giving of themselves, not just of their money, but their entire lives, willing to bring their lives to serve in these teams. And you have heard us talk about some of these teams in the past, from youth ministry to stewardship and finance to church and society to the missions team to the altar guild and so on. That all the different teams we have in the church is not simply because we want to have groups. It's because we want to be in mission. Amen? That's what the teams are here for, because they are in mission. We are all in mission in this church, and each and every one of us should be part of one of those teams. Each and every one of us should be part of those teams, because we're working to indeed show God's generosity to the world in which we live. And although we can pray for people, amen? We can pray for each other. We can pray for the whole world. But my sense is, if you have a little bit more energy in your life, let's commit to work as a team with people who are committed to make a difference in this church and to make a difference in this community and to make a difference in this state and to make a difference in this nation. You can all be part of these teams that will help us make a difference all over this community, among ourselves to begin with, but also in the entire community. So these are not simply posters for show, although they look beautiful, I agree, but they are actually an example of our commitment to ministry in this church. Now, we're not perfect, amen? We make mistakes. We will continue to make mistakes. Let's be clear about that. But it is our commitment to seek God's righteousness through all these ministries in this community that will show indeed God's generosity to the world, that will show that we indeed care for what God cares. If generosity is a hallmark of God, it should also be a hallmark in our lives. Our own generosity and how we give of ourselves, the same way that God has given of God's self to us. Let us be open to that idea that indeed God has called us to love generously, to give generously, to live generously with each other and with the people around us. For that is the only way we're going to make a difference for a better world. Not only here, but everywhere around the world, we will make a difference if we work together for the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Blessed God, we give you thanks for your mercy, Lord. We give you thanks, O God, for your wonderful generosity, Lord. That which is the hallmark of who you are. That which actually shows, oh God, your character. Your generosity toward us, oh God. The generosity of love. The generosity of forgiveness. The generosity of justice. The generosity, Lord, that comes from your mercy. The generosity that comes, oh God, from all the things you do for each and every one of us and for your community, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy indeed and for that wonderful generosity of yours. We pray, Lord, that you continue to help us, O God, to become as generous as you are. We pray, Lord, that you help us to be shaped by your generosity, Lord, so that we may indeed give of each other, Lord, like you have given of yourself for us. Help us, O Lord, to become part of these ministries and these teams and this church, Lord, so that we are indeed engaged in the ministries you have called us to be a part of, Lord. We pray, Lord, and I pray to you, my Lord, that you may indeed touch the minds and the hearts, Lord, of each and every one of the people at this church, Lord, that they may hear your call, O God, as you are calling on them, Lord, to join one of these teams, that they may see, O God, how you are working through them, through these teams, that we may work together, Lord, for the strengthening of this congregation, that we may work together, Lord, for the strengthening of your ministries in this church, Lord, so that we may indeed be the people who seek, O Lord, and to work in the transformation of the world, for that is indeed part of your work, Lord. Be with us, merciful God. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your gifts. Continue, Lord, to fill us with your generous gifts, Lord. For we pray to you, O loving God, in the name of Jesus Christ, name that is above all names. Amen.